It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Little Wi-Fi issue today, as Bobby and I are working through that here on the flagship. Hope everyone's doing well today. Happy Halloween for those who are celebrating, and we all should. Hope everybody's doing well today. We got a big show. We got a lot to get to, so jump on in and dial right now. 702-365-9200 is the way to get in. That's 702-365-9200. I was talking to Bobby moments before the show went down because we tried to fix a little Wi-Fi issue here on our YouTube. And I said, Bobby, you know, I'm going to be nicer to the callers. I go, I noticed lately the callers are saying I'm a little bit too fast. I'm a little bit too harsh. I'm a little bit too intense. And that has a lot to do with my losing streak that I've been on. If anybody's paying attention to my Yankees, I'm cranky Yankee. There's a lot of that going on now. I'm cranky Yankee. And the Raiders haven't won in a month. So, you know, this is my life. This is my show. This is what I do for a living. And I haven't been winning much lately. So when you're not winning much lately, you kind of get a little bit upset. So I'm going to take that into account here as we open up the show here and get rolling here. And again, to our late arriving crowd, thank you for waiting for me. We're up. We're running. We're on. The internet is working well now, Bobby. I mean, someday, one day, we're all going to have free Wi-Fi everywhere. Like, we're going to walk around as a human. You're going to get out of your car. You're going to walk to Starbucks. You're going to walk here or there. There's going to be a cloud over your individual head, not up in space, where you're going to have your own Wi-Fi. You're not going to have to log in and give codes, and it's going to be a beautiful thing.
God, that would be a wonderful fantasy. For now, I would just like a bleeping computer that works when I need it to.
Yes,
that's all I'm asking for.
It's called tech problems. My wife is great at tech issues as we get rolling here. All right, so here's what I want to begin with. Obviously, I'm going to begin with the Yankees and what happened to the Dodgers, because last night I got my guts pulled out again by the Yankees and the way they lost the World Series and were eliminated in the World Series in gut-wrenching fashion. And I was just losing my mind because they should have won the game easily. Now, some people say that, well, you don't have any respect for the Dodgers. And they're saying, well, you're not being fair to the Dodgers, who are the better team. No, I'm very fair to the Dodgers. The Dodgers were the better team. That doesn't mean they should have won the game last night. The Yankees had the game wrapped up. If you had little boys and girls who play T-ball, and then they go up to something called coach pitch. So after T-ball, they go to coach pitch. And then that's when the dads get on the field and they throw little balls underhand. And some of the kids need a tee. And that's okay. You give the kids a tee. And they hit off the tee. And some kids run to the wrong base. They run to third base. And all the moms laugh and they have their Starbucks and they're talking. And they're all having a great time. We got some great Summerlin Little League moms where I live, right? And everybody's hanging around. And you watch the kid. And then they graduate to where the kids get to pitch. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, wait for that. When the kid who's 4, 5, 6 years old, now they let him pitch. That's not really a good idea. It's not really a good idea if you got to spend your Saturday with a bunch of parents watching kids not being able to pitch, but they got to learn somehow. I mean, they got to learn. What are you going to do? They can't be playing T-ball and coach pitch forever. Well, last night the Yankees played like it was bleeping coach pitch, and it was going on to adult little league pitching and moms and dads on the field allowed to get in the way. Last night was an iconic disaster for my Yankees. I have never, I repeat, never, and in sports radio when you can use the word never or ever, it's pretty big. That was the first time that I can remember ever that my Yankees in the World Series, not in April, May, June, July, not talking about that because the Yankees sucked for most of the year. How many times did I say, oh, the Yankees are in first place, they stink? I said that all year and people couldn't believe that I wanted them to win in the postseason. Of course I do. Of course I do. I want the Raiders to win every game too, but it's not possible. So last night they're up 5-0 in the fifth inning. 5-0 in the fifth inning, and they are cruising along. And I mean cruising along. This game is over. And normally you don't say that in sports. It was over. Cole was on the mound. He was unhittable. Everything was going great. And I'm watching the game with my wife. My son came home from Tempe. My other son was there. We're watching it. My wife's making a really cool dinner. We're having a good time. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So let's first see how the Yankees got there. As Aaron Judge, who couldn't hit in the series, finally Judge started to heat up.
His job is to get on base for this guy, who they are standing for, the captain, Aaron Judge.
The pitch to Judge, swung on and hit in the air to deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It is a Judgian blast into the right center field seats. And the Yankees take an immediate 2-0 lead in this must game. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
Pretty happy at that point. Now what's happening in this game is Judge is now alive. Finally, he has awoken. The big King Kong of Manhattan is up. And, man, he is ready to go. He's ready to go. And then Stanton, who was a bum for pretty much the entire year, Stanton decided to contribute. He had a really good World Series.
And here's Stanton, and he swings and drills one to deep right. It is high. It is far. That is gone. It is a Stantonian home run.
Unbelievable there. Stanton home run, 5-0 Yankees, game over. Take all the champagne and Budweiser and drinks and whatever, and everybody, because they have, I get this champagne that doesn't look great, but they have it all there. Get it out. Get it out of the Dodgers locker room. Put it on ice. Give it away for free. You know how they give away Bobby T-shirts to the Super Bowl losing team? They ship them over to the other side of the world. Take all the beer and champagne out of the Dodger locker room. It's over. No, it's not over. Then the fifth inning came, and it'll go down as the worst fifth inning in the history of the Yankees. And the Yankees have been playing baseball well over 100 years. Well over 100 years. So Judge, who's a pretty good center fielder, had a ball hit right at him in the fifth inning, and here's what happened.
And it's lined to center field, charging Judge. He dropped the ball and throws to second, too late. So that'd be an error on Judge. That's the first time I've seen him drop a ball.
First time I've ever seen him drop a ball. People gambling on the game, right? It had nothing to do with Judge throwing the game. He dropped the fly ball, hit right to him. He took his eye off the ball and dropped the ball in the World Series in Yankee Stadium against the Dodgers. Like, that doesn't happen. And then after that, it was just, here comes Freddie Freeman again. He ended up being the MVP of the World Series.
And now another 1-2. Freeman to center field, base hit. Edmonds going to score. Here comes Will Smith. Freddie Freeman coming through again. A two-run single, and the Dodgers are within two.
So that's Dodgers Radio on the call. Here come the Dodgers, and it's 5-3, and everybody's still okay. I mean, Cole's on the mound. Cole's pitching really good, but then the wheels started to come off.
The pitch. Hernandez, fly ball, left center field. Judge going back, chasing after it. He's not going to get there. And one hops off the wall. Mookie scores. Here comes Freddie. Teoscar Hernandez has tied game five.
So at that point, it was 5-5 in the ball game, and I was losing my mind. I got up and do what I normally do. I walk out of the house. I walk into the backyard. I'm out of my mind. I can't believe this. What's going on here? How could this happen? And Judge started off the collapse. The Yankees made errors. The shortstop couldn't throw the ball to third base to get a force out, and then they hit a ground ball to first base, and Cole didn't cover first. So I tie this back up to Little League. In Little League, kids make mistakes all the time. You encourage them. You buy them ice cream after the game. You say it'll be better next time, and they go get ice cream, and they run around with their friends, and they forget it. The Yankees played their last game in Yankee Stadium, and they had all those errors in one inning, and they acted like they never played baseball. So who do you blame? I blame the manager. The manager has to have the team prepared to play better baseball. So I wanted Aaron Boone fired from day one. I know he's not going to get fired because he got to the World Series. He's a terrible manager. He is a terrible pitching manager, but that one wasn't on him. It was about a bunch of players who just forgot how to play baseball. And then the Dodgers take the lead. Mookie Betts, what a player. His third World Series with the game-winning sacrifice fly.
And what do we say game one of the World Series? The stars are going to be the stars. And here's the big one in Mookie Betts.
Weaver sets. Kicks and fires. Betts swings. Cracks a ball in the air center field. Judge backs up. Edmund tagging from third. Here he comes. Another sacrifice fly, and the Dodgers have the lead in Game 5. It's now 7-6 L.A.
Dodgers radio on the call, so once they had the lead, it was over. You know, Yankees played for the long ball. They couldn't get the long ball, and it was just a matter of time. They bring in Walker Buehler. It was an Oral Hershiser moment. It was a Madison Bumgarner moment. I was hoping they'd do the same thing for Cole in Game 7 in L.A. The Yankees win. They're up 5-0. They win the game. Cole looks great. You pitch him in Game 7 just to get an out or two. Not to pitch an inning, or just to get a big out. Maybe he closes the game. You bring in Gerrit Cole in Los Angeles for Game 7. Never meant to be the Dodgers' final call as they win their 8th World Series.
Dave Roberts can hardly watch. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for L.A.! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for! A swarm of Dodgers on the right side of the infield. Grown men but children again. Living out their dream.
That's amazing. Dodgers radio on the call. And the Dodgers end up winning the World Series. As I said, congratulations. Congratulations to the Dodgers organization. They were built to win. They played smarter and better baseball. Okay, they played smarter and better baseball. And they ended up winning because of that. So I don't have a problem with that. But the issue becomes I'm pretty upset because I wanted to win so badly because I'm a diehard fan and they weren't able to win the World Series. And you don't get to the World Series much. You don't get to the World Series much. And when you do get there, you can't play your worst baseball. You can't do that. You can't do that at all. When you get there, you got to find a way to get out there and play your best baseball, and they weren't able to do it. So I'm pretty upset by it. I commend all the Dodger fans. There are a lot of Dodger fans here out west where I'm based in Las Vegas, and we got a big national audience here. So for everybody out there, if you're a Dodger fan, take advantage of the format today and jump in. If you're a baseball fan, let's do more sports radio like I get paid to do. Okay, let's get more sports talk radio on days like this. The NBA Finals, whatever it's going to be, let's get going, all right? I got a 2-6 Raider team. I give you a ton of Raider content. The bleeping World Series was last night. I'm pretty raw. I'm pretty emotional. Bobby knows I'm not happy about this, but I got to tell you, finally, when you think about why the Yankees ended up losing, like why could the Yankees not find a way to get it done and win? And simply for me, all you need to know about the Yankees and how they got beat, they struck out 37 times, 14 looking. They made 7 errors, 3 in Game 5, really 4 if you look at the Rizzo play that scored on an error. You hit 205 as a team. 205 as a team. 190 with runners in scoring position. See Judge, Soto, Rizzo, and Wells. The manager completely mismanaged pitching changes, pulling starters too early, leaving the bullpen completely exposed in key situations. Nestor Cortez, Tommy Canley, who came in, couldn't get an out, walked a bunch of players last night. And you let Freddie Freeman beat you on fastballs in every crucial situation. That pretty much covers it. Just pathetic. One of the worst collective team performances in World Series history. Almost like they didn't belong on the same field with L.A. Cranky Yankee, hashtag. So that's where I'm going with that. Congratulations to the Dodger fans. You won that fair and square. It wasn't like you got lucky. You didn't get lucky. But you got to admit, you got a lot of help from the Yankees. Okay, you did win, no doubt about it. It's kind of like Kansas City. They beat the Raiders. They got a lot of help from the Raiders. You know what I mean? Like, you don't fumble the ball. You throw it to Bowers and don't let Bowers disappear. You do a couple of things. You try to score at the end of the half instead of playing it safe. You don't go 3 and out. You know what I'm talking about here. So, Dodger fans, congratulations. And then the other thing I wanted to mention quickly is I went to Game 1 with my son. I told you the story about that. I feel better about that now because it's Thursday, right? So, almost a week ago, I went to L.A. for Game 1. I feel better that I went to Game 1 with my son, even though they lost, because I saw a really good World Series game. And last night I saw one of the worst defensive World Series games of my life. So I'm happy I went to a really good game. The Yankees had the lead. They were one out away. Do you know, Bobby, if they would have, if they didn't give up the grand slam to Freeman, which is pretty easy not to, you can get a pop-up, a ground out, a strikeout. You can get a lot of other things. The Yankees would have been tied 2-2 and lost that game and went back to L.A., still with a chance to win, but they didn't deserve it. Los Angeles, the Dodgers, are world champions. If you want to get in on that, 702-365-9200. I'll get a couple of calls in here, and then we'll get to the Raiders and the Bengals. And I know I want to win the game against the Bengals. Anybody else? Anybody else want to win the game against the Bengals, or are we just like throwing up a white flag from a fan base here? I mean, you're trying to win these games, right? You know, I got some knuckleheads in my chat like, lose every game, lose every game, lose every game. For who? I don't know. It's just cool to say lose. It's cool to be a fan who claims to be Raider Pete or Raider Xavier or Raider Andy, and they think they're real cool saying we should lose every game. But then they want to fly around in their cars with Raider flags on, and they want to go into bars with Raider shirts on, but they want to lose. You hanging out with any of those knuckleheads lately? Oh, they're knuckleheads, and that's me being kind because I work for the team and work for the flagship. Okay, I can talk about that small minority of knucklehead fan now that is infiltrating the Raider Nation, and they're not smart enough. Yes, I'm talking about these fans. They're not smart enough to understand that it's a business. There's games. The games are on Fox, CBS, NBC, Monday Night Football. You got to play the games, and I got some Raider fans that don't even want to play the games. They literally don't want to play the games. I'm like, okay, we got a job to do. You take a break, and we'll come back to you at the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and then we'll start doing our round-the-clock draft coverage. We'll start doing draft, Shador, Cam Ward. We'll pretend that the Raiders are going to get one of these quarterbacks to make those fans happy and engaged again. It's just win, baby. And the last thing I'll say on this before I get to the phones is, can you imagine Al Davis? Can you imagine walking up to Al Davis and saying, excuse me, Mr. Davis, or Mark, but I go back to Mr. Davis and saying, what if we lose the rest of our games? We'll get blank, blank, or blank. Imagine walking up to Al Davis and doing that. No, you don't, so don't do it here. Just don't do it here. Go to all the Urea Gray podcasts, some a lot bigger than mine. There are YouTube channels here that got Raider fans that have much bigger following than I do on YouTube, and they'll take your calls and your suggestions on how to tank. Chris in West Oakland. You can tell I'm worked up. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, I figured the cranky Yankee would be in full force today. And all I'm going to say about the Raider game, because I'm going to talk about the World Series, I'm glad you're opening up that format. Look, just go out and compete this week. Let it hang out. You know, Cincinnati, they're struggling this year, but it's not because of Burrow. Burrow's completing 70% of his passes, 15 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Their defense is awful, I think ranked 30th. This is the week you're always talking about, JT. Hey, let's go out and play fast pace. Gardner Minshew, yeah, we're not great throwing the ball, but we're even worse running the ball. Let it all hang out. Compete. What do we got to lose at this point? We're 2-6. Give it your best shot. Put the game on Minshew's shoulders. Go toe-to-toe with Burrow. Go no huddle. Just go out and compete. And I'm with you, JT. You can't tell the players and the coaching staff that are playing for their jobs and their livelihoods to go out and try to tank for a quarterback that might not even be their teammate next year if they do that. So that's all I'm going to do this week. I'm not going to predict. Just go out, play your ass off, Raiders. Show up. They've been ready to play every week. Let's see if we can get it done. But I'm with you on the World Series, man. I feel for you. And I'm envious in one way, JT. I went to all these World Series games with my dad as a kid, and you did. You know my son, Zach. Andrew, not so much, isn't a baseball fan. Zach's been to every playoff game with me since he's been alive. Never got to go to a World Series game with one of my sons, and it looks like I'm never going to get to do that in Oakland. So, at the very least, you've got that memory to hold on to. But you're right about Aaron Boone and the Yankees. Even the Game 1, JT, that wasn't a well-played game in Game 1. Juan Soto played a single into a triple. Gleyber Torres olayed a relay to second base that allowed Ohtani to go to third. But Aaron Boone, I don't know what this guy was thinking about. You go to Luke Weaver. If you're willing to go in the eighth inning, don't wait till the bases are loaded or there's a runner on third with less than two outs or nobody out. Go to him to start the inning if you're willing to go to him in the eighth. You're setting your closer up to fail. Then in Game 1, after only throwing 18 pitches, you don't send him out to protect the lead in the 10th inning. I think both managers in this series were buffoons. I think they have such high payrolls that eventually they get lucky and get it right. But last night, you're right, man. That's one of the worst defensive innings I've ever seen in a postseason game anywhere. A little league team would have been embarrassed by that. And I'm not going to give Gerrit Cole a pass. Absolutely, you have to cover first base. But for Christ's sake, when Rizzo's fat ass got the ball, Betts was still 60 feet. He made no attempt to even run to the base. I know he expected Cole to be there. That should have been one of those balls where your first baseman fields it, waves it off to the pitcher, and says, I got it. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you wait till the bases are loaded, nobody out. Now you go bring in Weaver. I just think I was looking forward to them winning this game, getting back to game six. Now we're going to see how Roberts has always burned out his bullpen, not to mention the pressure the Dodgers were going to have being up 3-0, and now it's 3-2 and staring down the barrel at a game seven. So I'm with you, my friend. That was embarrassing as a baseball fan last night. And as a Yankee fan, I would be thoroughly pissed. It's one thing to lose, but to lose in Little League fashion, that's something that's going to hold over. But much like the Dodgers have done year after year before this year with their postseason failures, the Yankees are going to double down on Aaron Boone. They're going to give you that crap that the players love him, and he protects his players. And then come the playoffs next year, he's probably going to screw up the pitching staff again. But anyway, man, I feel for you. The only solace I have, I love it when the Dodgers win because every San Francisco Giants fan's head is exploding right now. Have a great weekend, my friend. I'll have a Modelo and a crown for you in solitude with the Yankees. Yes. Talk to you later, bro.
Yeah, the thing I wanted about it as just a sports fan is I wanted another game. That's all. That if they have an off day today to travel, they would have flew out. They would have flown out today. Remember, the game ended late last night. I don't think they would have flown out. They probably would have. I think they would have took the red eye. And then they would have got into L.A. and played game six in L.A. And the Yankees would have had all the momentum. If they didn't collapse, they collapse. But they would have had all the momentum, pitching set up well, Dodgers would have been feeling the pressure. I'm not saying the Yankees would have won the World Series, but I would have had something to do on Friday night. Right? That's all I want to do as a fan in life is have somewhere to have a Modelo, sit down and watch a game. Right? With you or anybody. I want to just watch sports. Now you got all these guys who have L.A. radio shows who don't even go to the L.A. Dodger games and out today waving a Dodger flag. Oh, my God. Sickening. Gangster Raider checking in here on the flagship. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. I'm trying to say what's happening to all the L.A. Dodger fans out there. We did it. We done won it again. First time since 2020. And we finally completed the deal. We get a parade. The first parade we're going to have since 88. Mm-hmm. And what I want to say is, you got to witness the first walk-off Grand Slam in World Series history. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So congratulations on that. You was actually there. I was supposed to get to the game, but I had to work because, you know, things that happened. I was going to get to go for free, but I didn't even get to go. But at least you was there. Mm-hmm. You got to witness the Grand Slam. And also for L.A., my Kings beat on the Vegas Knights last night, so it was a good day for Los Angeles mm-hmm. last night. And as far as the series go, everybody want to say the Yanks gave it away or they dropped the ball or whatever. They just crushed a superior team. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? The Dodgers were way better. Like you said, they was one out away from winning game one, and the Dodgers snatched victory out the mouth of defeat with that walk-off Grand Slam, the first one in World Series history. And I don't think it's hands down. You know, Freddie Freeman is – without Freddie Freeman, we do not win that series. And y'all should be lucky that Yankees didn't get swept because mm-hmm. if it wasn't for that game four, they'd have got swept. If they played like they did in game four last night, it would have been over. But I'm mm-hmm. glad it went five games, and it was a good series. Like you said, game one, game two, game three, and game five, they were all great games. Game mm-hmm. four was the only one that really wasn't a good game. But game, especially that 5-0 comeback, just like I was watching it with a bunch of Dodger fans, and they were all worried when we went down 5-0. I said, it's still early. Mm-hmm. You know, relax. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We can come back. And I said, I predicted we was going to win 7-5, and we end up winning 7-6. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I was trying to bet you, but I couldn't get in a couple of days because I was here at work trying to sneak mm-hmm. in the call. But I still got your shirt for the Raider Riders, my club out here.
Good.
When I come to
look
Vegas
forward
in a couple
to it.
Of weeks.
I'll see you all there right. at the Torch.
Go
man.
Dodgers.
All hey, right. Congratulations, man. Congratulations to all the Dodger fans there. You know, I'm cranky Yankee. If they would have won, I would have been pretty excited and all that. But that's what sports is about. You know, that's why I get so angered about the Chiefs. You hear my passion for the Yankees, right? My boyhood team. Raiders weren't my boyhood team. I've been with the team close to 27 years. So you know my passion for the Raiders. I don't have to sell that to you. You know it. I live it. Black hole, everything. And when the Raiders don't get to the playoffs, they're not going to get to the Super Bowl. And I got to sit here and watch Kansas City get to the Super Bowl and win it? That's what I've been going through now, man. I'm not in a good place. I'm not in a good place mentally with Kansas City trying to run our town in Vegas with all their bull crap. The nightclubs, everybody coming here. They're golfing on our golf courses. They're winning Super Bowls in our building. You know, all this stuff. I'm not in a good place. I'm not in a dark place. Never been there. But in sports, I'm in a pretty low spot right now. And I got a radio show to talk about it. And again, I'm not doing cheeseburgers and movies. There's some days you're going to say, man, I'm not into it. Man, he's talking about his team's losing. But I'm going to try to always be positive and optimistic that things are going to get better. Monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. Two great happy hours, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. They own the Stratosphere, Arizona Charlie's, the Laughlin Entertainment Center. I love the brand new location that I love. I just love everything that they're doing now. We are locked in. Great American Pub and what they do there. Their new location right off Buffalo. Happy Halloween to everyone. Be careful with the kids and the cars and the kids in the cars. Let the kids have a blast. Happy Halloween to the Raider Nation.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's the name of this game, right? Your best players got to play their best. And if you're going to play the two-time reigning world champions, you got to make sure that your best players are doing what they do. And so that's important always. And that's, you know, that's always going to be a focus of what we do.
That's Luke Getsy. He's getting a little bit of heat. Every offensive coordinator gets heat when they only have two wins. Everyone. So not Luke Getsy. Sometimes we live in a bubble. We think everything that I say or our guests say is Raiders. No. It's every team in the league. Every team in the league that has got two or three wins. There's coaches on the hot seat. There's coaches that need to perform. That's life. It will never change in the NFL. Vince Sapienza, he's now hosting our morning show on the flagship here, also from Fox 5, everything he does around town. And we welcome him in here in his usual spot every 2 weeks at this time. You know, I'm Cranky Yankee. I know you watch some baseball at home. Man, have you ever seen a worse fifth inning in your life, including Little League, where I think Jax is playing it at this point? That was the worst. That was T-ball, coach pitch, all mixed into one in the Bronx.
You know, JT, I didn't even want to be near my phone just in case I uttered the word JT. I didn't want Siri to accidentally send you a text or call you. I felt for you. I felt for all the Yankee fans because that was rough. I know, you know, whether you love or hate the Yankees or Dodgers, that was rough no matter how you slice it. I think Garrett Cole called it as bad as it gets. I think it's worse than that.
Yeah, so, well, it was that bad.
That's a tough night. But what a game it turned out to be in the grand scheme of things. And, boy, I can only imagine Fox is popping some champagne over whatever their numbers must have been.
Absolutely, no doubt. Vince Sapienza, part of the Fox 5 family. So you just heard the Luke Getsy soundbite. And, look, you've interviewed him. I've interviewed him. I see him in the hallway. Great guy. They're all great guys. They really are. But the fans at times don't understand that they're human beings. They got wives and kids, and they moved here, and they're going to new schools and all that. We do. I just like to see Luke Getsy figure out a play that this team can run when they have to get a play to score. They don't have one, and I can prove this because not only are you at every game and I'm at every game, well, every home game, they don't seem to have a play prepared that they know they can run on the 3-5-7-yard line that works. It's called a set play, a signature play. We're halfway through the season. You and I and all the fans listening have no idea what that play is.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And the other thing we talked about, I think, over the last couple of weeks is urgency, right? There's just not a lot of urgency or pace to the offense. Even when they get in a rhythm, seems very slow, very they seem to reset every time, like they're taking a breath, like, okay, that worked, or okay, that didn't work, let's reset. So there's, even when they've been in a flow, there's been no rhythm to it. And I guess here's the thing I would say with Luke Getsy, and I know he's kind of been the fall guy of late, and it's not hard to understand why. He tells us his preferred place to call the games is on the sideline, Antonio Pierce a couple weeks ago moves him up into the booth. So, you know, they're trying different things. And the one thing about Luke Getsy is I keep hearing from fans, I wish he would get creative. I wish he would try different things. Well, that might be the problem with Luke Getsy. He might be trying too much stuff. We heard on Monday Antonio Pierce talking about, you know, it's okay to run the same play if it works. Like, run it into the ground until it doesn't. We saw the Kansas City Chiefs do that how many times? A dozen times at least against the Raiders on Sunday. They've made a living off running the exact same plays. Why? Because you can't defend it. Because you have guys like Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. Well, the Raiders, while they might be deficient in a lot of areas compared to other teams, they got Brock Bowers. Get him the ball. Throw him the ball. I don't think you can over-target Brock Bowers at this point in the season. The Raiders can't afford to, and he's too good to. Whether he's in single-man coverage, whether he's in zone, he's beating it all. All you have to do is get it to him, target him, throw it to him. Now, that's the other part of the coin, the other side of the coin we don't know. We don't know what plays are being called for Brock Bowers and what Gardner Minshew is not executing well enough. So everybody may sit there and say, well, you're not dialing up enough plays for Brock Bowers. We're not in the huddle. We have no idea what's being called. We had Marcus Johnson's tape, Don't Lie, on a couple days ago, and he basically sat there and said, broke down the tape and said exactly what I saw when I looked back at the tape. Brock Bowers is running open on half a dozen to a dozen plays, and he's not even looked at. That's the problem. So you can say, well, you're not scheming up a plan enough for Brock Bowers, or you can sit there and say the other side of the coin, the offense just isn't executing. The line isn't blocking long enough. Gardner isn't going through his reads, or he's getting too squirrely in the pocket and going off his read and taking a sack or running out of the pocket. So it's not just one thing. I knew Luke Getsy is the guy to pick on this season for whatever reason that is, whether it was his time in Chicago or what have you. But right now, it's more than just the play calling. It's the execution. It's the talent on offense.
Vince Sapienza is our guest, and you know, that, you're right. You nailed everything you said. You nailed everything you said about, you know, running the plays that work and what they can do. Here's the tough part about Luke Getsy that Josh McDaniels didn't have. Josh McDaniels had a team at full strength, right? He had Michael Mayer. He had Darren Wall. You look at the players that he had, Hunter Renfrow, they decided not to go with. But they had a Jacoby Myers. They had a team at full strength. And Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't get the job done. And they had a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback in Aiden O'Connell, who, you know, got thrown into the fire. I get all that, and Josh McDaniels got fired. Luke Getsy, I'm not making an excuse for him. Devontae didn't want to be here. He didn't want to be here. So I don't know what the practices were like. Devontae is a pro. He's a future gold jacket. So I'm going to assume that when Devontae was there, he practiced, and him and Luke Getsy had a relationship from Green Bay. He's got Michael Mayer not available. He's got running backs that can't hit the hole because the offensive line is injured and not being able to block. Again, Michael Mayer not available. So when everybody's sitting here cracking Luke Getsy, and it's fair game, look at what he's dealing with. And then the quarterback in some of these games, the play calls right, and the quarterback is just making a terrible physical and mental mistake. And everybody wants to blame the OC. I get it. But you got to blame some of the players for not executing.
I completely agree. And I'll give you one more example. After the Trayvon Merrick pick, right, they get down to the 3-yard line. There has to be a plan in place. And from this is my opinion. Again, I'm not in the huddle. I wasn't in the meeting rooms when they went through these scenarios. But just from my bird's eye view, there did not look to be a plan. They get 2 yards on the first and goal. They get stuffed on the next one. They get pushed back 2 more yards. If there was no creativity of like, okay, if we're going to go for it on fourth and goal, if we don't get in, let's mix in some play action. Let's mix up some motion to make it think like Brock Bowers is going to get the ball. Let's split him out wide. Let's do different things. So that's where I can sit there and say, fans are going to crack on Luke Getsy about not being creative or giving different looks. Sure, fine. All that's great. But to your point, I think that's fantastic in terms of Davante Adams. Nobody was more excited when Luke Getsy was hired than Davante Adams. Because of his playbook, because of the success they had together in Green Bay, Devontae thought he was going to eat, and Devontae thought they were going to feast on opposing defenses because he had a tried and true playbook. Devontae wanted out,
That's not on Luke Getsy. They had a great relationship. It's more than just that. You had a quarterback that cannot get him the ball, would not push the ball down the field for one reason or another, either didn't see it or made the wrong decision to not do it. So the other part to all this, and people keep forgetting this part about Luke Getsy, is the running game. JT, it's non-existent. 1.8 yards per carry. I don't care if it's Madison. I don't care if it's Zamir White. It doesn't matter. They're not winning the point of contact. They're not winning the offense, the line of scrimmage. It's not happening. No matter what iteration of the offensive line, the five guys they put in there. They put in Thayer Mumford and Andrews Pete multiple times in jumbo packages just to try and create some kind of push. They are getting beat off the ball on a consistent basis. That it doesn't matter who the quarterback is or the running back. There's not enough time, even if you dial up the perfect play. So that's why I sit there and said, I've been shouting it on the morning show for the last couple of weeks. It's not just one thing. And while fans have the right to point the finger at whoever they want, that's their deal. But I'm here to tell you, someone who sees it firsthand, watches the games over, takes notes, and looks at it, it is a myriad of things that creates a recipe for disaster, which is why the team is sitting there 2-6.
He is taking over the Vegas media world and vast media platforms. See, when we started together in L.A., there was no such word as platform. Now it's all platforms. Now we're on multiple platforms. Good to talk to you, my friends. And what about the kids tonight for Halloween? You got the kids at the perfect age for Halloween. I'm seeing a picture right now my wife sent me from 2015, 9 years ago. My son is the skeleton. My oldest son dressed up as Drake with the Drake beard. So what are the kids wearing tonight?
Well, JT, as you know, Jax is 8 years old today. He's a Halloween baby, and it's crazy to think that we've been here now 8 years in Vegas. So he's going to be Mario with the mustache riding Yoshi. Witch from Hocus Pocus. And then I, of course, am going to my tried and true costume of Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation.
Have a great time with the kids on Halloween. Take care, buddy. That's Vince Sapienza. Catch him in the morning here on Raider Nation Radio. Catch him at night on Fox 5. When we come back, and that was brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo. We're fighting here, man. We're fighting for a win at Cincinnati. And the incredible moments I had with my sons when on Halloween, when we mostly lived in L.A., in Sherman Oaks. Our neighborhood was vibrant with trick-or-treaters. Bobby, the real question tonight is, will I turn off the lights or turn on the lights? My wife, she laughs at me like that. We got plans tonight, but the kids are home, so they'll hand out candy.
Well, I think, you know, this league, you know, anytime you're in this league and it's a challenge, you got great players on every team. So every down, every first down, every touchdown is hard to get. And I think that's no different this year to any other year. I think, you know, we're in a new system. We got the new players, first time head coach. We're all working together to get this ship righted, to get this thing going in the same direction. And, you know, it's a process that continues to improve, you know, the game day communication to the practice, the way we practice and the expectations every single day and on the game day and all that stuff. I think all of that stuff is just continuing to get better. And I think that's the challenge. Anytime you're a new operation, you have a lot of things to work through. And I think, you know, I just see us getting better each and every week as we go through these processes.
Well, Luke Getsy thinks they're going to get better each and every week. I don't see it yet with the offense. Lee Sterling joins us from Paramount Sports, coming off a 1-2 week. He's ready to bounce back. Hey, Lee, one thing about you know the offensive coordinators, the defense coordinators, the play callers. You just don't look at a game and say this. You know how the tree works with the coaches, especially going into big college and pro matchups.
Yeah, you have to know it, and you have to know who's holding a grudge. For instance, Manny Diaz got fired by Miami before he went to Penn State. Now he's at Duke. You don't think he's going to prepare for a game against his old team that he coached and also his hometown. Well, if you're going against Duke here, you're probably going to be on the wrong side.
ParamountSports.com. Go to the picks, ParamountSports.com. All right, Oregon, Michigan, Oregon minus 15. They took on my wife's Fighting Illini and destroyed them. And I thought Illinois was a pretty good team. Michigan is not the national champion. They're the reigning national champ. But why such a big drop-off there? And are there any games that Michigan's going to get up for and maybe shock the world?
Well, they controlled the line of scrimmage, and they won last week at Michigan State. Actually an improved team. Oregon is really talented, but now they got to go on the road. Got to play their last two games at home against Ohio State and against Illinois. Now they're going to face a team just as strong as they are in the trenches, maybe not as strong at the skill position level, but they're good on special teams. And, you know, you go on the road in the Big Ten, they're going to find out what big boy football is all about. So you think they're just going to run the table, go into this thing, ranked number one, undefeated. I think you got something else coming if you're following Big Ten and big boy football. So I think Oregon will win the game. They just have too many weapons here, but maybe a trick play or a special teams play keeps it close here. Oregon wins the game 27-17, but the Wolverines cover.
Michigan covers versus the number one team in America, the Ohio State at Penn State. Is Penn State going to win a big game? I mean, I know they're very good. They recruit well. They're in all these games. Franklin needs signature wins, especially. I don't know if it's going to be a whiteout or not, but then going into Happy Valley, Big Noon's going to be there, kickoff. It's a massive game for Penn State to show that they belong at the end of the year. I guess it's Ohio State -3.5, the hook's in play.
So I've been going against James Franklin for years. I mean, he just, once you get to a big game, just tightens up. I mean, there is no creative play calling. But I did notice a change in the game at USC. They were down 2 touchdowns, and you know what? Opened up the playbook, a couple trick plays, and they were able to shut down the USC passing game, which has a really good quarterback, and they got receivers. A couple guys are going to be playing at the next level. Now, Ohio State's a little bit different challenge. They have 2 guys that are going to be first-round picks. But I think where Penn State has a chance is up front. All of a sudden, Ohio State can't run the football. They might be down to their third-string offensive tackle. This Penn State front seven might be top two, top three in college football. Last weekend, Ohio State, their best 2 running backs, Quishon Jenkins and also Trevian Henderson, they were held to a combined 54 rushing yards on 20 carries against Nebraska. Off the bye, they couldn't get up for it. So maybe Ohio State is not who we thought they were here. Unless they can hit on some big plays down the field to the receivers, I think they're in trouble. Wrong team favorite.
Whoa.
Penn State 27-23. Straight up.
Straight up. Lee Sterling, Penn State at home. And here's a little nugget. I'm watching ESPN in studio. I see snow coming down in Green Bay. All right. The Jared Goff numbers outside are brutal. And inside, I don't think they even played an outdoor game this year. Dome games. Well, I want to see what Detroit does. -3.5, Green Bay. It feels like this is the game Green Bay has circled this year.
So, you know, you look at Jared Goff, and when he's in that perfect situation, he's got weapons. Now, all of a sudden, and 3 of the last 4 games, they've scored 42, 47, and 52. What was the game where they couldn't score big and they only won by 2 points in interdivision game? So now they got to play another division opponent here. They're going to face a Green Bay team that might get back their star cornerback, Alexander. I don't care who plays quarterback, Jordan Love or Malik Willis. Malik Willis is 2-0 as a starter. 1-0 when he entered when they were down in that game. So this is a defense that swarms to the ball at home here. Like I said, playing outside, well, the only time he's done it hasn't happened yet. So they got some big problems here. They're not going to roll through this schedule and lose one game. They're going to lose 3 or 4. Mm. It always happens in the NFL here, and they also have a problem here on the defensive line. They're playing without their star Hutchinson, and it's the second, third, and fourth games where teams are going to take advantage of it here. Another wrong team favored, Green Bay outright 28-26.
Wow, I like that. I picked Detroit to win the Super Bowl. I'll still stand with that, but I agree with Lee. They're going to lose some games. Tonight's your game of the week here. I know you have a close family member who's a Jet fan. How in God's name are the Jets favored in a parking lot at home or on the road or anyway. They are falling apart. But you got some information here that you shared with me, and we want to share with our audience. How do we get this game, Jets-Houston?
So my daughter, who's going to be living with the boy's name is Blake. He's a big Jets fan, the biggest you've ever seen, literally will lay on the floor for a half hour after they lose. She bought him a ticket to the Jets game, but he had to wear a clown's red nose for the game. So if you spot someone with a big red nose, his name is Blake, and you want to get that game for free, Jets and Houston, a little bit of a preview. Games that he's gone to, JT, they've lost 12 straight times. You talk about a mush. You want to get Jets-Houston, call 800-400-9741. Get the game for free. We're on a roll. We've won 7 of 9 weeks. We won in September, won in October. We don't call it November here. We call it Dovember. You can get 5 weeks of action, normally $597, just $397. One place, ParamountSports.com.
Dovember, it's back. Thank you, Lee. Thank you very much.
All right, JT.
ParamountSports.com. Very quickly, that's Lee Sterling. Man, he gave you a couple outright upsets there. Had coffee today with Alex DeCastaverde. You hear me talk about the DeCastaverde Law Group. Brothers Win. BrothersWin.com. You see everything around town with them. A legacy, tremendous law group, their father's vision. Now Orlando and Alex do an unbelievable job. Just check their Google reviews. Watch their videos on their site. It's amazing. I tell you, put their number in your phone in case you need them. You might never need them. 99% of people who hear me, I hope you never need them. But if you do, it's 702-222-9999. The brothers have your back. They got beautiful offices downtown, Tivoli Village, and they do it all. They've recovered hundreds of millions of dollars for their clients. They're involved in the community. And as we talked today, Alex told me about how Nevada has done so much for their family because their father and mom came over as immigrants. And he does immigration law and helps out a lot of people. And he's heavily involved here with the community because of trust. He trusts the community and they trust him. So I'm just telling you, I call my partners for a reason. This guy's special. And we spent about 45 minutes this morning down on Town Center on the beautiful part of town over here in Summerlin, right by the Summerlin Parkway. Had a nice cup of coffee and talked about our partnership. And it's a big one for us because there's a lot of law firms out here that tell you how great they are. I'm not telling you how great he is. I'm telling you, he's a great guy and he wants to help if you need him. The DeCastaverde Law Group, the brothers win. The brothers have your back. BrothersWin.com. Special treat on Halloween. Bill Krakenberger at the bottom of next hour. Hey, jump on my YouTube page now. I'm going to do a must-listen monologue at JT the Brick YT right here at the top of the hour.